Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. The name Elliot Ness may prompt some listeners to remember Kevin Costner's portrayal in the 1987 movie The Untouchables, as his character seeks to bring mobster Al Capone to justice during Prohibition. Here's a clip from the film of Sean Connery's character, Malone, Ness's crime-fighting mentor, and Kevin Costner as Elliot Ness.
What are you prepared to do?
Everything within the law.
And then what are you prepared to do?
Want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. And that's how you get Capone.
Do you know what a blood oath is, Mr. Ness?
Yes.
Good. Because you just took one.
And for our younger listeners who maybe haven't seen The Untouchables and are a little less familiar with Elliot Ness, well, you've probably heard his name mentioned in numerous rap songs. The Fugees have him in a lyric. He's also in the first verse by Dr. Dre in Tupac's 1996 song California Love. Here it is. Untouchable like Elliot Ness. While Tupac and Dr. Dre invoked him to describe California, Ness was, of course, more famous for his work right here in Illinois as an incorruptible crime fighter in Chicago in the 1920s. Our next guests have written multiple books on Ness's career, including a Chicago Public Library Book of the Year Award winner from 2018 called Scarface and the Untouchable, Al Capone, Elliot Ness, and the Battle for Chicago. Their new release is Elliot Ness and the Mad Butcher, Hunting America's Deadliest Unidentified Serial Killer at the Dawn of Modern Criminology, out now from HarperCollins. It picks up on Ness's post-Chicago career in Cleveland, Ohio. Joining us now are the co-authors of that book, Max Allen Collins and A. Brad Schwartz. Max and Brad, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Listeners and fans of Elliot Ness, we want to invite you to join the conversation by giving us a call, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. If you have a question for our guests about Elliot Ness or their latest book, Elliot Ness and the Mad Butcher, our lines are open. The number again, 800-222-9455. Of course, you can always tweet us at 21st. Show. So, Max and Brad, we're going to get into your newly released book in just a bit. But first, I want to rewind a little and start chronologically with Ness's earlier time in Chicago, which you covered in your previous book, Untouchable. Brad, let's start with you. For our listeners who may not know, just who was Elliot Ness? Where did he grow up? How did his career in law enforcement begin?
Well, Elliot Ness was born in 1903 in Roseland, so the far south side of Chicago.
Where my family is from, yes.
I'm sorry?
Where my family is from, yes.
No kidding.
Yes.
Roseland, Kensington, Pullman. That's where Ness grew up and really cut his teeth. And it was, you know, it didn't feel like the big city back then. So even though he's from Chicago, he's still kind of an outsider in the city itself, I think. But he grew up. His father was a very successful wholesale baker. Ness was the youngest of several children. So one of his sisters married a man by the name of Alexander Jamie, who would become involved with what would later be the FBI, back then was known as the Bureau of Investigation, gets forced out after ending up on the wrong side of an up-and-coming public servant named J. Edgar Hoover, and ends up moving into the Prohibition Bureau. But he's sort of as this older figure, Ness's father was kind of absent, so Alexander Jamie steps in and becomes this sort of surrogate father who is becoming this new kind of law enforcement official, a real professional, somebody who sees this not just as a job in the old beat cop sense, but really as a career. That's something that Ness, as he's growing up, looks up to. He reads Sherlock Holmes. He wants to be that sort of combination of brains and brawn, this very scientific, very intelligent, very systematic sort of criminal investigator. And
these are things we take for granted today from pop culture, but this is being invented at the time, right? You know, the idea of forensic analysis and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. I mean, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, as we talk about in the first book, is one of the things that brings ballistics to the United States for the first time. That had been accepted in Europe, but the idea that you could match bullets to the gun that fired them, that's a very new thing. And Ness is one of the people who when he follows Jamie into the Prohibition Bureau, which is very disreputable at the time, very corrupt, very incompetent. Ness sort of says, well, I can rise above the herd. I can be that professional investigator and present this new standard and, you know, sort of make a name for myself. And so when he's picked to head the Capone investigation, the Untouchables are really one of the first examples in American history where you have these new professional law enforcement officers being promoted and talked about on a national scale.
Max, I want to bring you into the conversation. Now, you've had a prolific career as a writer of novels, graphic novels, comics, television and film novelizations. I can't list them all because it's going to take the whole show, but you've worked on projects like Batman, Pink Panther, X-Files, CSI, and the graphic novel you wrote, Road to Perdition, was adapted into a film, same name, starring Tom Hanks, won an Academy Award. In the 80s and 90s, you wrote a series of Elliot Ness-based novels and also later generations of the Dick Tracy comic, which was, of course, based on Ness. What is it about Elliot Ness, the real person, that sparked, made him into such a legend as a character for people that he still lives on today?
Well, you know, Brad comes at this from the aspect of an historian, and I guess I come to it more from a popular culture aspect, because when I first saw the old Untouchables TV show, back when I was like 11 years old, 10 or 11, with Robert Stack, I was fascinated by the fact that it was that this was a real person going up against Al Capone, who was also a real person. That was something new to me. I mean, as a kid, I knew what Dick Tracy was, and I knew what Batman was and Superman, but the idea that real people like that existed, and about the same time, they were doing Wyatt Earp on TV. And Wyatt Earp was also a real person. So I began to have this notion that there's something going on in history, in real life, that is fueling our popular culture. So that you have somebody like Ness becoming an icon, and Wyatt Earp became an icon just as well. And Ness very specifically, you mentioned Dick Tracy. I was the first writer after the creator, Chester Gould, to do the comic strip, and I did it for 15 years, from 77 to 93. And Tracy was very much based on Elliot Ness, because Gould was somebody who really, particularly in the first 10 or 20 years of Dick Tracy, he was always keying off of what was happening in on the front page. He felt like he was on the comics page competing with the front page. Mm-hmm. And so he got the idea, and he told me this, because I knew him quite well, because I was consulting with him when I was doing the strip. He told me that that's where he got the idea for Dick Tracy, was the coverage in the papers of this honest federal, essentially, task force led by this young man. And I said, you mean Elliot Ness? And he said, yes. And that had never been confirmed before. In fact, I don't know if anybody ever had brought it up before. But so there in the late 70s, I confirmed that Elliot Ness was the pattern for Dick Tracy. Ironically, yeah. in our Cleveland book, we see Elliot Ness working with juvenile delinquents, essentially, and trying to make them part of a Dick Tracy fan club, a crime-stopping club. Hmm. And I'm almost positive he had no idea.
Oh, that it was him. Interesting.
The basis for it.
Yeah, well, let's talk about your new book. And listeners, I want to remind you, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Elliot Ness with our guests, Max Allen Collins and A. Brad Schwartz. They're co-authors of the recently released book, Elliot Ness and the Mad Butcher, Hunting America's Deadliest Unidentified Serial Killer at the Dawn of Modern Criminology. Brad, let me ask you, so now we know who Elliot Ness is. Who is this Mad Butcher, and why did Ness leave Chicago and end up in Cleveland?
Well, who is the Mad Butcher? I'm not going to perhaps tell you exactly who the Mad Butcher is, because we want people to read the book, and we don't.
Okay, no spoilers.
No spoilers. but Ness, after the Capone case, and again, if you've seen the movie, you sort of know how that works out. But Ness comes out of that case with a fair amount of public fame and attention. But Prohibition ends in 1933. He's still with what used to be the Prohibition Bureau. He's kind of on the outs at that point. He's hit a dead end in his career, and he gets moved to Cleveland, which is a city at that time that had suffered greatly due to the Depression. There was a lot of joblessness, a lot of homelessness, a lot of municipal corruption. The police department in particular was in horrible shape. A lot of crime. Gangsters were using it as a safe city. In some ways, it was, you know, more dangerous or more corrupt, perhaps, than Chicago had been during the Roaring Twenties. And a new mayor comes in by the name of Harold Burton, who's a Republican, but he's running as an independent because he wants to bring in a new ethos to government, wants to clean it up, and he wants somebody to be what they call the public safety director, the person in charge of the police and fire departments, to really shake it up, to bring in competence and this new professionalism that we were just talking about. And he selects Elliot Ness. And so Ness, he's still very young at that time. He's only 32 when he gets this job to be in charge of one of the largest police forces in the country and one of the biggest cities in the country at that time. Mm-hmm. And as Ness is coming in and trying to present this new image of what law enforcement should be, these bodies start turning up. Even before he gets the job, right around the time that Ness first comes to Cleveland in 1934, pieces of the bodies of men and women, cut up in different ways. One of the only common features among all of these murders is that they've had their heads removed. And in most cases, that seems to be the cause of death, which is very unusual. It's not easy, as we talk about in the book, to remove a living human head. So you need to have dedication to what you're doing, as this individual apparently did. And it, because this is, you know, Jack the Ripper had been about 40 years before, there had been other examples of serial killing. And in Europe, they were starting to recognize this as a repeating phenomenon. But in the United States, there was not an understanding that this was a pattern of behavior, that you would have killers like this, that you could track them and sort of, you know, catch them in the way that we try to do today. So this is a very new thing, and it takes them a while to realize, first, that this is all the work of one individual, and second, that he's going to keep killing until somebody stops him. And yeah. Once the press figures that out, that's when they, you know, because he had been leaving a lot of these bodies in a slum area of the city known as Kingsbury Run. So that's when the killer gets the name the Mad Butcher of Kingsbury Run.
Yeah. And there's so much more interesting about this story. Apparently, the Nazis are using the inability to capture this person in propaganda to sort of mock America. And then, you know, there's more in the book about Ness's life after law enforcement. And he kind of meets a sad end. And unfortunately, we don't really have time to get into that. We've got just about a minute remaining. But Max, I guess I kind of want to step back and take a little bit bigger picture look. Obviously, policing, law enforcement is a big topic in American life right now. In the book, it says Ness was less the hard-boiled hero of popular culture than a humane and forward-thinking lawman is interested in preventing crime and punishing it. I mean, can you briefly just talk about his legacy and his approach to law enforcement and what we might learn from it today?
Well, that line is telling, and I think the fact that you led in with the famous Sean Connery speech about the Chicago way was never really Ness's way. He always was professional. He always was humane, and he was forward-looking. One of the problems of putting the book together is that when people want us to do this one driving story about the butcher, it's not convenient because Ness himself was just as concerned with juvenile delinquency, with traffic deaths, with sabotage during the early days of the war and leading up to the war. He was dealing with everything. Police corruption was a major thing, the numbers racket. He basically drove the major gangsters out of Cleveland, some of them into Las Vegas. So he was really the complete guy, and he was very professional.
Mm-hmm.
And he, to me at least, represents a good role model for today, actually, the professionalism where he cared about people and he did not necessarily just think like a politician. In fact, even though he eventually ran for mayor, he was really, not at all a politician.
Not at all, yeah. So police who cared about people and had a broad focus on public safety. And I'm afraid we're going to have to leave the conversation there. We've been speaking with Max Allen Collins and A. Brad Schwartz, co-authors of Elliot Ness and the Mad Butcher, Hunting America's Deadliest Unidentified Serial Killer at the Dawn of Modern Criminology. Max and Brad, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Our program is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Yunus Alpasan's our engagement producer, and our intern is Zainab Qureshi. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick's our news director. I'm Brian Mackey, and The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media.